Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to Al-Bayan Live. I'm your host, Abu Abdurrahman, and once again, I'm pleased and happy to be joined by my dear beloved brother, Sheikh Khalid Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, D Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, good to be back. I think on the first podcast or
first
live stream.
Post Ramadan program.
Live stream, and inshallah ta'ala, yani many more throughout this year.
Inshallah. We had a good break after Ramadan. How was your Eid?
Wallah, alhamdulillah, it was very good. Subhanallah, once again, just as we always say, time flies. It was a good Eid, alhamdulillah. We got now pretty much school holidays. Obviously, not a holiday off of the worship of Allah, but a holiday off of a few other things, yani other commitments. So, alhamdulillah, it's always good to have some more time to yourself as well, time for the family and things like this as well.
Yes, excellent. We'd like to welcome all our listeners listening and watching wherever you may be. We ask Allah to bless you and bless your families and bless Muslims wherever they may be. And now we'd like to get into tonight's topic, which is life after Ramadan. It is a weird feeling the first few days, dear Sheikh, after Ramadan. What you're used to is, you know, now changed again. You're back to your norm or your normality, if you want to call it. And it is a bit of a test to get up and have a bite to eat in the morning and the rest of it. So how do we start with life after Ramadan? What's the first thing we're getting into?
So, subhanAllah, something which you just mentioned, it's very true that even on the day of Eid, eating feels so wrong. And then the few days after that, yani eating feels wrong, subhanAllah. But wallah, you know, at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we come out of Ramadan strong. It's just like the one that travels from overseas, and subhanAllah, he comes back to, you know, these countries, and then, you know, he sees some of the munkarat which he wasn't used to seeing as frequently and often overseas, and he ends up thinking like, what's that, what's going on? And we've mentioned, I think, the example before of the one that goes into the toilet after someone else has used it, and he's got to spend maybe a minute or two thinking, what put me here right now?
That's the first time I hear that example.
And then after a few minutes, yani desensitization occurs. So it's really much the same thing with Ramadan, when we're, alhamdulillah, you know, we're attending the masajid, which we'll get to inshallah ta'ala, doing all of these great deeds, we're on that high, and then we come out of Ramadan, and then it, you know, really the munkarat feel worse than they've ever felt before, because, you know, we've tasted that sweetness, now we're on that high, you know, we stayed away from all of those sins, whatever it is. Then when you see that sin, or you feel that sin, or you fall back into that sin, you end up, subhanallah, thinking and realizing that wow, this is enormous. But then, subhanallah, what tends to happen with many is they end up becoming desensitized, like we said, like that second person, he goes into the toilet after somebody else, and then he, you know, for a minute or two, he's thinking, why, or, you know, what's going on here? And then after that, the smell goes away. Why? He ends up becoming desensitized. But it's very important, subhanallah, we don't end up becoming desensitized to those sins. You know, we look at, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu, even the minor sins as if they are major, because we have to look at the one we're sinning against. But it's very true, subhanallah, how we come out of Ramadan, yani, like that. And, you know, we have to just try our best to remain steadfast, remain firm, try our best to incorporate everything, pretty much, I guess, we'll be speaking about, inshallah ta'ala, today and in this podcast, of things that we know, Sheikh, already, I think, yani, many of us are accustomed to hearing, such as attending the masajid, having good company, keeping that connection to the Quran and the likes. For especially being the school holidays, I know a lot of the brothers and sisters are, yani, taking their children out and things like this, for it's incumbent upon us as well to ensure that we are going to good places, good environments, being around good people. Something as small in our eyes as sending our children out with other children, you know, see who these children are, know who these children are, and things like this, subhanallah.
Sheikh, let's just pause for a sec. We may be having some technical difficulties. How are we going inside for sound? Because we're getting some complaints that there is no sound. Can't hear our voices. How are we going? We'll just pause a bit.
We'll pause, no problem.
General chatter. These things happen. So we'll just give it a minute. This is awkward, waiting for sound to come out. You know, if people can hear you or not.
Silence is subhanAllah. Yeah, we got it on. I think there's the thumbs
here
up.
Here we go, the big thumbs up.
If we can get confirmation, inshallah.
Good too. They can see us. How are we going?
Yeah, if we can just get confirmation as okay. well, inshallah ta'ala.
I can see myself. That's not a good day.
No one likes. That's a great himself. Sight, mashallah.
Yeah, no one can see themselves. What about Sheikh Khaled? Can we see Sheikh Khaled? It's better. Give it. Let's cross over to him. Have a go. Here we go. It's better. Let's see. Sheikh Khaled, wayno? Ayna anta? There we go. Allahumma barik. Beautiful. For those seeing me, look to my left. You're right on the screen there. Just, I've got the image there. So it's all good. Alhamdulillah. Let's welcome back. Maybe a quick recap of what you just said, just in case they did not hear us.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. I'll mention that one prime example, which yes. which is often mentioned, subhanallah, we often mention, especially in cases or times like this. Subhanallah, I was mentioning the example, and after the Sheikh mentioned how was Eid, alhamdulillah, overall it was a great Eid. Once again, we always, as always, say how fast time is going, subhanallah, and we mentioned how important it is to just remain that firm and steadfast, yani after Ramadan. We did mention that, for example, after Ramadan, people come out, and because they've been on that, you know, high all month, and they've, you know, been attending the masajid regularly, they've been around good brothers, they've been around the mashayikh or the du'at, good people, knowledgeable people, they're benefiting, they're reading Quran, they're standing, they're giving, they're all of these things. They come out, subhanAllah, you know, on a pump pretty much. And then the munkarat and the evils and the bad deeds and all of these things, they're enormous to them. And then what happens and tends to happen with many of us is slowly, gradually, these all become, you know, if you'd like to say, lighter to us. And unfortunately, subhanAllah, we end up becoming desensitized. And I did give the example of that one person, for example, that uses the toilet. And then, you know, Allahu musta'an, what he does in that toilet, Allahu a'lam, maybe he mixed, you know how they say fish with milk and all that. Anyway, he spent some time in the toilet and then he finishes, so he leaves. Now the second person needs to go to the toilet. So he walks in and he finds an absolute abhorrent and disgusting smell, but he needs to go to the toilet. So he stays there a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, he ends up becoming desensitized to that smell, as if that smell isn't even there. But if there was a third person to walk in there, for example, they would notice that smell. For the point is, sins pretty much become and are similar to that. The more that we immerse ourselves in those environments, the more that we immerse ourselves in these or with these sins and commit them and the likes, the easier and the lighter they become to us. And the less that we pretty much, you know, give them the attention they really deserve. And it's very important that we don't become like that after Ramadan. And subhanAllah, I think we've all been on the same boat regarding this, and many can relate, especially those who, for example, just simply went to maybe Hajj or Umrah, those who've went to Saudi or those who've went to the Khalij countries and things like this, whether it be yani, whatever it is overseas, the point is, even other than the Khalij, many of the cultures, hometowns, they go there, and obviously there could be possibly different rules, whether it's covering the awrah more, whether it's, you know, no music allowed, whether it's hearing the adhan outside, all of these things. They get accustomed to that. Then what happens when they come back here, especially the brothers that have spent a year, 2 years or years overseas, and the sisters, they come back, subhanAllah, and they you know, the smallest thing really affects them. And we really can appreciate and connect, subhanAllah, to the statement of, or which has been attributed to Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, regarding seeing the ankle of the lady, or the skin, you know, of the lady, and then his memorization was affected for a couple of weeks. And then we think, maybe why, you know, because we are accustomed to this, seeing this in our communities, and this being apparent in our communities and environments, subhanAllah. But, you know, those who have, for example, lived overseas, if they come here and they see anything of that, or they hear, for example, something like this, and the evils and 1, 2, 3, it really affects them heavily. But then you see that same person that it was affecting that heavily, and he took it that serious, you see him after a year, maybe 2 years, 3 years, etc., and subhanAllah, this has become a norm, yani. Even though, of course, he will look down upon that, especially the one that is, you know, religiously committed and the likes, he will look down upon that, but really it's become a lot more normal, and he's become a lot more desensitized to that. We need to be very careful as well exiting Ramadan, that we don't develop that mentality. Yes, all the brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we had a great month. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept it from us, and to keep us firm after that. Inshallah, we did have a great month, and then we come out of Ramadan, and even on the Eid day, Shaykh, subhanAllah, we see even on the Eid day, problems start to arise or occur where brothers and sisters might, you know, go against the Islamic teachings, whether it's with their dress code and things like this. So in Ramadan, that would have been something bigger to them at least. But then outside of Ramadan, some people downplay it. So we need to be very, once again, careful and vigilant, aware, you know, that we are constantly having that which Ramadan was and is there for, which is at-taqwa, and developing that God consciousness, that piety, that God fearing, if you'd like to say, loosely translated, and other things.
Sheikh, now you know, as Ramadan is a month of worship, a month of mercy, a month of drawing closer to Allah, nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the best things I found is some of the advice that we hear regarding the Lord of Ramadan is the Lord of the rest of the months. Just as you worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan, you should continue to worship Allah after Ramadan. Yes, it's not going to be the same, you know. For most of us, it's going to be sometimes a big drop. But we have to maintain the regular practices, the regular constant acts of worship and things of, drawing nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah loves.
And which are all readily available.
That's it. And so, you know, if you really try to take a snapshot of what you did in Ramadan, you know, and continue it, maybe not on the same level, but slow and steady, constant and regular. And as we know, the Prophet ﷺ told us, the most beloved actions to him are those which are constant and regular, even if they are few.
Little or minor. SubhanAllah. So, and Sheikh, like we said last time, you know, and you said it so beautifully, recap that, you know, we can't expect ourselves to be like we were in Ramadan, of course. And we detailed that in the last podcast or the second last one. But at the same time, everything that we are able, I can't think off the top of my head right now. If the viewers, you know, can pick up on this, maybe they can comment, inshallah. But I can't think of a single deed that is in Ramadan being done that we can't do outside. So much so that even after, and this is a timely reminder, that even after Ramadan, we see the 6 days of Shawwal, for example. So Shawwal, as inshallah the brothers and sisters are aware of, is the month after Ramadan. For Allah Azza wa Jal has, you know, gifted us and blessed us with and given us the opportunity to fast 6 days of Shawwal, 6 days of this month, to follow it up, subhanAllah, and complete an entire year, as the hadith says. And also, the one that fasts, in another version, it's as if the one that fasts or follows up Ramadan with 6 days of Shawwal, it's as if he's fasted a lifetime. And we also have, as I'm sure everybody is well aware of, the 3 days of every month, and then we have the Mondays and Thursdays. And for those who really want to take it to that extra level and that next step, we got the fasting of Dawood alayhi salam, which is the best of fasting. And subhanAllah, an interesting point which was once mentioned, that as we know that the fasting of Dawood was every second day, pretty much day on day off fasting. And if they had fasting similar to our nation in any way, shape or form regarding the days, he really would have been fasting more than half the year, because he would have fasted every second day, and then whatever the days were for their fasting, you know, if it was similar to ours in respect to the number of days and things like this, only Allah knows. But the point is that, you know, that's just for the fasting aspect, 6 days of Shawwal, then the three white days, then the Mondays and Thursdays every second, and the other opportunities that come out through the year. Likewise, the giving, is there ever a time that people are not in need? Of course not, subhanAllah. There's always a time people are in need. There's always a time where one is able to give, and also, for example, the Quran and everything else. So as you said, Sheikh, the commonly mentioned phrase that the Lord of Ramadan is the same Lord as every other month. It's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there in Ramadan, they're not there, wal'iyadu billah, outside of Ramadan. And that's why subhanAllah it's come, and wallahu a'lam, the authenticity has been questioned, but it's come from Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah and other from the Salaf, that they said these people, meaning those that only worship in Ramadan and pretty much forget Allah Azza wa Jal outside of Ramadan, which is the unfortunate reality, even though the reality sometimes is a bit sour to some, but you know, a lot of them tend to forget more, at least yani, outside of Ramadan. So it's as if they wal'iyadu billah worship Ramadan, and that is a heavy obviously comment, but the meaning behind it is obviously clear, that how can someone subhanAllah, you know, claim to worship Allah Azza wa Jal and then limit that worship to a specific month or a specific day? Rather, if you are sincere and legitimately sincere, then you would try your best. At least, we're not saying no one's going to sin, no one's going to make mistakes, but at least you'll try your best to constantly be aware of, you know, the prohibitions of the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal yani, throughout the whole entire year, every day, every hour, every second, you know, of course, as much as we're able to. Once again, we are human beings, we do fall short, we do forget, we do commit sin, but at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to worship him. We're not here for toy, we're not here for play, we're not here for this. Where the hadith says that the dunya is cursed and everything in it. And then he mentions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepts and exceptions. One of them is the teacher, pretty much the scholar who teaches, the learned person, and the one that learns it and the likes. For at the end of the day, we're here for a purpose, and we can't be negligent and neglect that purpose. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that the hour is drawing near, and pretty much makes the mention of how many are negligent towards that.
Sheikh, I found, wallahu alam, from personal experience and seeing, you know, the community and being involved in da'wah, alhamdulillah, that one of the main reasons people stray after Ramadan is they're distancing themselves from the masjid or the masajid.
Yeah.
And I found that in Ramadan, one of the main reasons people are firm and strong and committed is that they're in the masajid.
Of course, subhanAllah. And when you think about it, they are the most beloved places, as we know the hadith, to Allah Azza wa Jal. And also the opposite, which is the marketplaces being the most hated. Really, you know, where do a lot of people spend their times? Those who you see that do end up straying heavily, where are they spending their times? Usually you will find them spending their times in places which are the most hated places to Allah. And if we think about it, them being the most hated places to Allah, one of the reasons for that is because of the lack of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal in those places. Lack of remembrance of Allah in those places can amount as well to shayateen being around those places, subhanAllah. So we need to be very careful regarding this. And we remember the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَا تَكُونُ كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَثَ. Imagine brothers, يعني, a lady, she gave everything she could, and even a man, يعني, gave everything they could to, for example, sew something. Let us say, as an example, they sewed whatever they sewed, of a shirt, of a, you know, they spun it all together, and they spent so much, exerted themselves. For imagine now, brothers and sisters, you fasted, you prayed, you gave, you stood, you did this, you done that, you exerted and gave everything you can, you know, to Allah Azza wa Jal. But then subhanAllah, it's like she undid everything that she sowed. And this is something important. That's why we say after Ramadan, don't undo the things you did. Don't undo the things you did, and really think about that statement. Yeah, you did. But remember, especially for those who've been keeping up with our podcasts, the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. You know, sometimes we think about it, doing deeds is easy. Doing deeds isn't really difficult, especially once you get accustomed to it. You actually, wallahi, you feel like something's missing. And that's why for the listeners maybe who maybe didn't hear because of the first few minutes of the audio, but we were saying, subhanAllah, that yani, after Ramadan, eating in the first day, second day, eating and drinking just feels wrong because you're so used to, you know, fasting those 29 or 30 days straight, the month of Ramadan. For eating and drinking, you know, feels wrong. So too, it's like, hold on, I didn't, you know, pray the Isha in the masjid. What's going on? You feel something's wrong, and it's like, I didn't, you know, whatever, I didn't fast today. You feel something's wrong, something's missing. I didn't pray Taraweeh today for the first time in, you know, 29-30 days. You're used to praying Isha in the mosque, then Taraweeh. You miss out on Taraweeh. You feel something's there, something's missing. For subhanAllah, you know, we should try our best to keep these emotions pretty much intact, keep these things up, and don't undo that which you did, because doing the deeds, you know, is easier, if you'd like to say, than protecting those deeds from being wiped away or negated, or if you'd like to say, yani, erased, subhanAllah. And we did mention the statement as well previously. You can go back to the podcast, inshallah, regarding Ibn Taymiyyah's statement, rahimahullah, how just like good deeds can eradicate and erase bad deeds too, some of them can eradicate and erase the good deeds, subhanAllah. Definitely, Sheikh, the masajid are so important in the life of a Muslim. And I think, wallahu a'lam, possibly yani, two of the most impacting factors on why people deviate and stray after Ramadan and become neglectful is the masajid, leaving them, and also having bad company. No doubt about it, subhanAllah.
They go hand in hand, Sheikh. And when we mean the masjid, it's the Muslim community, exactly. Especially in the West.
Because men make, you know, the masajid, not the chandeliers and the lights and things like this. Yani. That's why we see some, you know, $1 million masajid pretty much, but it's the men that make the masajid. The Prophet's masjid, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as inshallah everyone knows, yani, was extremely small. And what was, they didn't have luxury carpets, they didn't have luxury lighting, they didn't have, but who made the masjid? Innama ya'muru masajid Allah man amana billahi wa aqama as-salata wa ata man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir wa aqama as-salata wa ata az-zakata wa lam yakhsha illa Allah. You know, it's the men that make the masajid, subhanallah.
So sticking to the masajid, to the Muslim community, to good company will help you in maintaining the good life that you had,
yeah,
the good part that you were practicing, they were enjoying in Ramadan. What's some other advice, Sheikh?
And with that point, Sheikh, which is also another part of the advice as well, especially with recent unfolding events, yani, over the past week in Sydney pretty much, but something so important, especially for the parents, is to protect, for example, our families, and to protect our children and things like this. If you're hearing the adhan in the background, that's the Kuwait timing
Sheikh,
adhan.
So Kuwait time. I'm about it.
It gives me memories.
Yes. Maybe it makes you yearn to go back.
So for those that didn't hear,
so what are we there now in Kuwait? What is it? Dhuhr?
It's about 8 hours behind, so it would be, yeah. Dhuhr, it would be Dhuhr time. So subhanAllah, for those that didn't hear it, my phone adhan went off, and I always tell myself I'm going to change it. It's still stuck on the Kuwait time. So yani, if you didn't hear it, that's why we're saying that. So going back to that point, is subhanAllah, yani, it's so important, especially for the parents, that my fathers, my mothers, etc., find a good masajid, or if you'd like to say, find masajid that are trusted, are known. Find mashayikh that are trusted and are known. Connect your children to them and connect yourselves to them, because what's going to happen, subhanAllah, is we've got something, and this is another timely reminder. We've got something, subhanAllah, that really wasn't available back then, and that is social media. That is social media. It wasn't available. This is one of the greatest fitan that were not available back then. Last Fajr, probably 2 days ago, actually, I gave a little reminder regarding two athar from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullahu ta'ala. Both of them very similar. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he saw a man playing with some pebbles and remembering Allah. So he said to him, إِذَا ذَكَرْتَ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَلْعَبْ بِالْحَصَى. If you remember Allah, or when you remember Allah, don't play with the pebbles. And the other athar from Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullahu ta'ala, he saw a man likewise, ra'a rajulan yal'abu bil hasa wa yaqul allahumma zawwijni hura al'ain. So he's playing with the pebbles, this man. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz saw him, the man's playing with the pebbles and saying, oh Allah, marry me off to hura al'ain. And he's making this dua, he's supposedly remembering Allah azza wa jal, and he's playing with these stones and pebbles and the likes. And then Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullahu ta'ala, he actually said to him, bi'sa al-khatibu ant, what an evil, pretty much, addresser you are. You know, when you address someone else, you're referred to as someone who addresses someone, an addresser. He said, what an evil addresser you are. Meaning now, you're addressing Allah Azza wa Jal, right? And you're playing with these pebbles and your mind's not even there. The point is that your heart's not there. Your mind's not there. You're this and that. And we have something, subhanAllah, which are our pebbles. Unfortunately, devices. Ahla
pebbles. Ahla pebbles.
Which are our devices.
How nice on the pebbles compared to
exactly,
these devices.
Exactly, compared to the 100%. And what happens, we see it today, where someone finishes the prayer, literally, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So what does he do? Instead of pebbles, he picks up his phone and he's still doing the dhikr. Now, no one doubts, still doing the dhikr. Alhamdulillah. Firstly, no one's saying it's haram. Secondly, no one's saying that it's not better to not do them, for example. It's still better to do them whilst looking and playing with your phone, because you're still doing them, as some of the ulama have explicitly stated. But at the same time, if your mind's not there, your heart's not there, like, isn't this, especially, isn't this, like, if you'd like to say, disrespect, isn't this, a weakness in
not appropriate.
The way, it's not appropriate at all.
You talk and to someone else. And
if we get upset at our children, our children have a device in their hands, right? And we get upset at our kids when we say to them, look here, or do this. If they don't answer us, or they're still looking at their screen and they reply to us, we say, no, look at me.
As you know, Sheikh, it's one of the biggest problems in marriages today.
Ask
any Sheikh or any counselor today, what's one of the biggest problems they are facing when counseling? And
definitely. The gadgets. I actually mentioned this at Fajr, because I think we've all been there and done that, but there's a difference, at least if you're doing it with like your spouse and your children, your family. That's still, I guess, not ideal at times. Obviously, you need your own time and things, but generally speaking, it's not ideal at times. But when you're doing it with Allah Azza wa Jal, it's like, what are we doing? We're asking Allah for guidance and we're just playing on our phones. It's as if it's just an automated robotic movement, subhanAllah.
So but these gadgets are really distracting and can mislead many of our youth. Which is happening,
exactly.
Let's be frank.
And subhanAllah, as you said, Sheikh, sometimes the wife speaks to you and she's speaking, you're on your gadget, and then if she said, did you even hear what I say, or repeat what I said?
What did I say?
You'd say, sorry, just say it a bit louder. You won't be there. So the point is, anyway, you need to be aware. You need to be there at mind, at heart, body, soul, etc. When you're addressing Allah Azza wa Jal, once again, I know we've all been there and done that, I assume. But at the same time, that's not a justification. It doesn't make it right. We should try our best, especially when we're doing our adhkar and things like this. We should really push ourselves to, once again, put the gadgets. Now, what brought us into, anyway, this topic is the point now that I was saying, that as we said, Sheikh, the branching off the point of the masajid and the importance of the good company and things like this, how many 100%. Of, especially some of the older generation, they would refuse to send their kids to a masjid because they'll say, for example, we fear this or we fear that, or we don't want this, we don't want them to become this or that. But we got to remember that we're not living in the same time as back in the days as well. What I mean by that is the influence, as you said, Sheikh, is, and we said, the phones and the gadgets. If you don't connect your child, you don't connect yourself to a reliable, trustworthy, if you can possibly senior sheikh, and also known, trustworthy, reliable organization in masajid, where is the knowledge going to come? Especially with the kids these days and teenagers spending so much time in their rooms by themselves and us not even being able to monitor what they're doing, where's the knowledge going to come? It's so important, especially after Ramadan now, because in Ramadan, most of even our families, our kids, our teenagers were in the masajid, tarawih, things like this. But now, maybe they're not as much because Ramadan over, they have school, they have this, they have to study, they have to revise, but there's still a lot of them in their rooms. A lot of them are still doing their own thing, but they're going to still turn for somewhere to get that Islamic advice from. For where they're going to turn? Online. And online's a dangerous, it's an ocean. It's an ocean. And if they don't have that guide, if they don't have that, you know, person they can go back to clarify matters with, they're going to drown in that ocean, subhanAllah. For the masajid is one thing, so important. As you said, Sheikh, the men that are in that masajid, the company and the likes, and also, subhanAllah, the knowledge and where it's taken from. You know, you as a father and you as a mother, we're responsible as well for our families. So you should try your best to guide them towards those places which are reliable, trustworthy, good, etc. And also those people that are reliable, trustworthy and good, etc. And at the end of this is your sadaqah jariyah, inshaAllah, as well. To go off on that other topic very briefly, you know, you supporting your child in this, you pushing your child to this, you teaching your child, etc. This is one of the things that will benefit you both in your life and after your death.
And also, it should motivate the parent to actually be educated about Islam. So he has a discussion with his child and he knows what his child's taking, you know, and that he's upon the correct way, the correct manhaj, avoiding, you know, negligence and avoiding extremism.
Exactly.
You know, we be straight out. There's both of these paths rampant in our That's community, right. Especially the online world. That's what we mean.
Yeah,
the online world
dangerous.
Today, you know, you get everything.
That's one of the greatest
full on
dangers.
What do they call it? The buffet.
Yeah, or you can eat, subhanAllah. And someone who doesn't know what they want is pretty much just going to choose from wherever. And as you said, Sheikh, it can be, you know, two opposite extremes. Mm-hmm. Shaitan doesn't care which one you take as long as you go to that extreme, whichever
and,
one.
And we are not led by emotions. Emotions are only beneficial when it's guided by knowledge. And that's the knowledge of the Sharia, the knowledge of Islam, the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. What Allah said, what the Prophet said, what the Sahaba said, radiallahu anhum. This is knowledge. So the emotion, sometimes you get a lot of the enthusiasm of the youth and the emotion of the youth. It can be very misleading and it can lead them down the wrong path if it's not guided by the, as
exactly.
you always mention, the seniors,
that's
the
right,
elders,
yeah.
those people of knowledge. And this is a mix that has to be together. If not, then you can have danger.
Yeah, definitely, subhanAllah. Fa, we always got to remind ourselves of that. And really the ones I find, subhanAllah, that are, you know, are negligent in this aspect, in this field, are the ones that themselves are distant from the masajid. So, of course, you know,
it comes back to, subhanAllah. Exactly.
If you yourself are distant from the masajid and distance from, you know, that connection with the mashaykh and du'at and the likes, then how do you expect, you know, to, you know, push your, pretty much your child into that relationship and things like this? And even if you tried, imagine, you know, your child grows up 15, 20, 25 years old and they see you never attending the masjid, never attending a lesson, never, you know, connecting to a sheikh and things like this, then obviously even if you tried hypothetically to push them into that life, then what are they going to do? And this is what a lot of the problems that occur between families, between this, between that, you know, sheikh, oh, can you come help, you know, our son, our daughter, drugs, some music, whatever it is, addiction, etc. For then it's like, we look at you, okay, where were you and where are you, subhanAllah? And as a disclaimer, yani, not putting anyone, of course, down, not targeting anyone specifically, no. But sometimes we need to apply the advice to ourselves and not to others. So what happens is, you know, Friday khutbah comes, the sheikh is given a khutbah, he's given advice. You know, that advice fits you perfectly. You are targeted there. And then it's like that person that is targeted and that person that advice is meant for, and he fits the criteria and everything like this, he'll apply it to others, but not to himself. He'll say, yeah, you know what, I know people, but what do you mean? He's talking about you. You change. You be that change, subhanAllah, and it'll make it easier like that as well for your children, your families, etc.
Sheikh, we only have a few minutes left as the Adhan is approaching. Wrapping up, what's some other advice for life after Ramadan?
Of course, from the greatest yani, which we're all familiar with already, is the Quran. You have to have a connection with the Quran. The Quran is the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, are the words of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. I remember maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was a group of brothers that came. This was the first time I think they came and prayed at Auburn. And subhanAllah, I obviously used to be there. This was in Ramadan as well.
Yes.
And wallahi, subhanAllah, they didn't know how to read Quran. And a small advice which I gave them about reading, and alhamdulillah they took that advice. And the brother, subhanallah, one of them, this Ramadan, he told me to, I think it was like the second last day, that he was pushing to finish reading the Quran this Ramadan. This was the first time he's done this, and subhanallah, yani it's a great achievement. But my point here is, if you don't know, start. If you know, do more. Keep that up. People were aiming to finish the Quran in Ramadan. Why can't you do that every month? Why can't you do that every month, subhanallah? Wallah, you know, some of us were meaning some of the du'at, the mashaykh, the brothers, the sisters, the laymen, the community, they were finishing the Quran in the last 10 nights. Some of them were finishing the Quran in the last 10 nights in prayer, for example. Things like this. And we know, obviously, the athar on the salaf and even the khalaf and the ulama regarding this. But meaning, it's not difficult. So try your best to keep that strong connection with the Quran. And how can you have that strong connection with the Quran when, or if you don't know Arabic, if you don't know how to read? We're not saying you need to become a master in the Arabic field and science, but at least go and learn just enough that way, or to read the Quran. That's number one. Number two as well, subhanallah, is what's stopping you? You know, we always say the mental game is a very important game. What is stopping you from becoming better? What is stopping you from doing more? What is stopping you from continuing? What is stopping you from doing the deeds? As you said, Sheikh, the most beloved, as the hadith implies, the most beloved deeds to Allah is the small but continual deed. So what is stopping you? Also, obviously, as we mentioned, the bad company and good company. Bad company, just get them out. Rid yourself of them. You will feel the difference in every aspect of your life. And also bad environments, whether that be the marketplaces, as we said, yani, or whether it be other environments where people are like that. There is a few more pieces of advice, yani, but I think I will leave it at that. And I just wanted to give that this last piece of advice, which is a bit off topic, but it relates, which is the school holidays. As we always say, yes, you know, this probably needs a podcast itself before the end of them, but moving on to the next holidays, and inshallah ta'ala, eventually the 6 weeks holidays, the longer ones, be with your family, spend as much time as you can in goodness with them, inshallah ta'ala. Be careful where you're taking them, what you're doing with them, you know, what you're teaching them. Be careful what you yourself are doing. The school holidays are not a time for you just to pretty much kick back with your feet up all day, every day, especially if you have kids that are more aware and going into those years, yani, that are more pretty much, you know, mature and you know, weary of what's going on and things like this. Try your best to set an example. Try your best. If you, my brother, especially, you know, because usually the men are out working full-time, usually, of course, there's exceptions and et cetera, but if you yourself can't, طيب, organize something for your kid, whether it's tutoring, whether it's whatever it is, organize something for them. If you can, get your wife to teach them, whatever it is, but ensure every day, especially in the holidays and outside of them, inshallah, that you're progressing and you're benefiting and you're constantly, yani, getting better and better.
Barakallah fiqh bi Sheikh for your time tonight. We'd like to thank all our listeners, and inshallah the Sheikh will be back with us very soon for another episode of Al Bayan Live. We'd like to thank our team and all the brothers and sisters who tuned in. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.